just our current views on the market. Look, we've been pretty consistent here. Not much has changed. The market levels have changed a bit, but in the left-hand box there, everyone knows this is all pretty much stated, and this is what the market's sort of grappling with. Government stimulus globally still going along. We're at this point of the cycle now where the market's grappling with tapering. What does it mean? Typically, what it means to the economy, given the setup is the consumer balance sheets are still in pretty good condition. Net savings rates are higher. There's significant amounts of liquidity. What it means is for any sort of taper, it's a more of a market event than anything else, really, given the extremes of money available in the private sector, given that most of this was most of the debt was nationalised during the corona crisis. So it's all about which parts of the market you want to be avoiding during as we move through a taper. And it is literally as rates start to move around, it's more about not the absolute level of rates, it's the volatility in rates, which tends to cause markets nervousness. So if you look at volatility at the moment, it's pretty much at record lows. So any sort of shift in the big picture on where the rates may settle, you need to be sort of typically in shorter duration companies with a bit of valuation arbitrage left in them still. Given that we're still in that period where, compared to the last 10, 15 years, fiscal policy is so dominant, you still need to be in those parts of the market where the cycle's still got more to play out, but more importantly, where there's a lot more valuation arbitrage. You know, you mentioned it earlier, energy is the big one. I still think it's quite under-owned. It's only 4% of our market. We've got quite a big position in it ourselves in the pick. I think they're one of the sectors where you need to be exposed. When we look at like the supply constraints, it's a known known, right? There's nothing new there. But I think what's becoming more evident is, it's quite interesting as you see the weak economic data just printing in the last couple of days. That's mostly because of supply, not because of demand. Because we can't deliver on purchases or jobs, you can't attract people into roles at the moment, etc. This is at this point of the cycle still a supply side issue, but more importantly, if you look at the discipline within the old industrial sectors, they are showing incredible amounts of discipline not to go blow their brains out and build plant everywhere. So, which is what they've traditionally done. Even you've seen the auto manufacturers start talking about, particularly the high end auto manufacturers, now talking about we're going to start building on spec effectively, not on spec on orders. So you have to order first, then we build the car. So there's all these changes in price signals in the industrial market. So with that, you know, with the unwinding of the globalization and, you know, trade wars still persistently running along, plus the decarbonization, we've done some work on the two biggest emitters, steel and cement. Obviously energy is a big one itself, but those two big industrial sectors. And looking at what happens to the price signals in Europe in particular, because they've got a carbon tax. And basically, it's generally accepted that all costs will be passed on directly to the consumer. It's accepted by the European Commission. They all assume that if companies have to invest in all this new plant and have higher OPEX, that's going to be full pass-through. This is going to cause bigger issues later down the line because it is, demographically, it's going to hurt the lower income earners. So there's going to have to be some sort, again, more supply by the government directly, so money in people's pockets at some point to offset this cost. So where are we now? We're just sort of, our position now was from last year was we're highly, a lot more cyclically exposed compared to this year. So we had a lot more buying the cycle. Now we're a little bit more balanced in that we're across the market a bit more. I think you have to have positions in many parts of the market because we are at the point where the policy mistakes, this is where they're going to happen in this part of the cycle where they start to tighten the central bank and say, you know, politically, you don't get the next infrastructure package go through or the spending package. You know, that's going to knock some of the expectations of growth around. So it can't just be in pure cyclical parts of the market. So when you look at where we are today, we're still in the opening up normalization, still on Qantas, still think there's more to go in that. We've been buying more Crown. When it dipped below $9, we increased our weight again. We're still there in Aristocrat, and Dexus still remains one of our a bit of an opening up trade, but that's sort of done its work from when we were buying it last year. So up at $10.85, nearly $11. you sort of get a $12, $12.50 type number. So there's a bit more left, but we're getting close to the exit. And also with REITs, going to be careful about when you start getting papers, the yield curve moves can knock around REITs as well. We're still very long insurance. Again, net beneficiary from any sort of short end rising. Plus, you've got obviously the tailwinds of the hardening insurance cycle in short tail. We've added Noble Oak. We participated in the IPO. I know it's a microcap, but we participated in the IPO. Good little business. We like the management. And we actually like life insurance because I think we're at that part of the cycle where I think APRA's done most of what it needs to do. There's probably a little bit more to go, but we like that team. I think they're a small book where they can grow into that cycle where a lot of people have exited the life insurance industry, so we quite like that one. In the industrial metals side, we've actually have added a new name, Butsi Unicam, which is an Italian cement maker. No laughing, please. Italian cement maker. But, you know, 50% of its business is actually in North America and Mexico and Brazil. And any sort of those infrastructure programs, you're only paying 9.5 times for it, which for a cyclical is, compared to most cyclicals trading on a lot higher multiples, you get real direct exposure to the US infrastructure cycle and just the CapEx increasing in the US in the next 12 to 18 months. We sold out completely. We had Boral, obviously, and we sold out to, you know, the seven's bid at 740. We're basically exited our entire position. And we still have Ferguson's because it is a plumbing supplies business, which is re-domiciling into North America and it's trading on 20 times, a bit high, but given the industrial multiples north of that, it's a really high quality business. We still like it. Lastly, there on the metals, we own Western Areas, about 3.5% of the pick. So we're underweight iron ore. We have Deterra, which is it's another way to play it. But we don't own Fortescue or Rio, and we own some BHP, but very underweight. We're playing it through the metals directly, where we see there's benefits to just the underlying. Even though China's sort of weakening, Western demand is still growing for the battery materials, et cetera. So Western Areas, Oz Minerals, and we participated in the JRV raising, or Cobalt, they bought those assets from Freeport. So we participated in that raising, and it's about 2% of the pick as well. It's a smaller company, but we like the positioning of it, and it's got high-quality management, all the management being ex-Xstrata and Glencore. Okay, just the portfolio positioning as it stands today. The weights... We sold down some FDJ earlier after the new year, financial new year, as it got to close to 50. Then there was an announcement by the European Commission that they don't like the fact that the French government headed a monopoly to FDJ. Unfortunately, they didn't charge them the right price, so I don't know what that means. But given every other country in the world has monopolistic lottery businesses, but it's all about the price. That went through a full process. We're not that worried about it. It's come back down to 43 euro. Still high quality business. We've actually been adding to it recently, buying it back. Crown there, it's gone from basically 4% up to 5.5%. So we've bought a lot back there. Got some banks. Westpac's underperformed materially. The market has put absolutely no credence in their ability to take costs out. Well, that's good because that's in the price. So for us, that's not a bad setup. And Oil Search there, we've actually been adding to that position recently. So Oil Search is north of that number. Again, that's pretty much our only energy play. We like the Oil Search Santos merger if it comes off. We like the structure of the new business and, you know, energy globally. I think the structure of no capital investment going into the last 18 months, the declining fields, et cetera, that all looks pretty good to us. And demand is pretty much back to pre-corona and you still don't have much international travel back. So we've got a sneaking suspicion that, you know, OPEC Plus is now more in the ascendancy versus Western world oil reserves and companies. So they'll sort of dictate prices. And while demand is still strong, you still need to have some energy in the portfolio.